to be of the world, to embrace, to be of the world, to
talk about secular things we missed as Christian kids raised in this world but not of this world. I'm your less in the world host, Slipperfoot Zach.
And I'm Blanket Skirt Brooks, your more in the world host.
Yeah, so it's a little cold.
It's very cold today
in Austin.
Yeah.
My dream city that I would love to live in someday is Vancouver, Canada, and it has been 15 degrees colder here.
Yeah, how are you going to manage that? Like, it's cold for us, but in terms of like the rest of the United States,
but
this is nothing.
I woke up today and it was 32. It was 45 there.
Wow.
It's balmy.
Yeah, but we're all kind of huddled in the corner here, covered in various blankets and slippers. And
if you hear an awkward cut, it's because we dragged a space heater to our corner.
But yeah, today we are talking about... Oh, he's taking a drink.
Sorry, cheers.
All right.
We are talking about Pokemon.
Yeah, we are. I don't know if you picked up on this, like as we were kind of prepping for this, but I'm pretty excited for this one.
Yeah, Brooks is going to steer a lot more with this.
Yeah, so Pokemon's pretty near and dear to my heart, I would say, just kind of growing up and everything. But yeah, speaking of, do you want to kind of get into your background with Pokemon?
I want you to go first so I can be jealous of it.
All right. Okay, so I started kind of watching Pokemon, I guess, back in the late 90s. I don't really know like a specific time. I was probably like 4 or 5, maybe 6. Was a pretty big fan of the show. I also collected a lot of Pokemon cards growing up. I've actually still got a binder of cards.
I really wish
in my. I know I don't have them with me, but they're in my parents' house. But I had a pretty decent collection. I remember playing the card game and kind of like showing off the cards to a lot of my friends at school. And then talking about the TV show, of course, and we had a couple of VHS tapes of episodes from the first season, but we only had a handful of them, so the ones that we did have did get played quite a bit, but I do remember like watching it on TV and stuff. And so I started playing the games in the second generation, so there was the Red and Blue games, and then I started with Silver.
Which was still on the Game Boy Color.
Yeah, and so that came out in like 2001, I think. But yeah, played that game a ton. Actually, interestingly enough, remember playing it at church on Wednesday nights. So if my mom was helping out with choir or something, or I don't know, my brother was doing something, I remember sitting in the pews playing Pokemon, kind of waiting for the night to be over.
That's like a perfect segue into my non-experience, because while you were doing that in church, I had it was called a lap desk, and it was like this plastic thing with kind of like beanbag material on the bottom, like a pad, and then it would open up like a briefcase.
Yeah, I know kind of what that is. Yeah,
and I literally had like a stationary like pencil sharpener and eraser set of VeggieTales to like Bob and Larry and stuff,
yeah.
And I would doodle like spaceships blowing each other up.
That's pretty normal, though.
Yeah. Pretty part
so,
of the course.
What was your perception of Pokemon growing up?
So, pocket monsters. Mm-hmm. Monsters are demons.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you would have interviewed little kid me, I would have said that Poke and Pokemon must have been like demon.
Uh-huh.
It's a demon. Dumb pun, but I also wasn't good at puns back then, so that's pretty appropriate.
Yeah, the E in demon has a little accent mark on it.
Damon?
Yeah.
Matt Damon?
Oh no, is he? Is he the unofficial official Pokemon mascot?
I mean, he's cameoing in everything these days.
Yeah, all the water commercials and yeah. So, did you like have friends and stuff growing up, like at school, that had Pokemon cards? Or
I don't remember any friends who specifically were not into Pokemon.
Because
I went to public school. I was public school all through school. It was always a no-no, and mm-hmm. I didn't ask my. I wasn't. the kid whenever I was super young to ask my parents repeatedly. So I took the first two or three no's and just mm-hmm. left it at that.
Yeah.
But I definitely internalized the attitude of like, it's bad. And uh-huh. so I just got really dogmatic about it. So I remember as late as like middle school, people huddling over on tables with their cards and playing.
And you would like chastise them?
I would, yeah.
Just and
I
openly
would,
rebuke?
I mean, I wouldn't like run up and berate them.
Uh-huh. Kick their cards over?
But I'd be like, you guys, you're spending time playing the stupid card games. I said while I listened to Cutlass, which I'm going to mention every episode because that was my middle school hardcore.
Yeah.
We can jam out.
This is like, we're talking elementary school here, at least for kind of like the core popularity of Pokemon.
So elementary school time, I didn't have any like the Game Boys or a DS or any of that stuff. So I pretty much missed out on all of that. So like, I think half of my spite was this belief that it was morally wrong, and the other half was just, you guys get to play this stuff and I don't.
And so it's kind of like, I hate you because you get to enjoy something that I can't.
On every level that a little kid could possibly hate another little kid.
Yeah.
That was kind of me. I was pretty spiteful. I'm regretful now. I'd like to think I've chilled more.
Yeah, I'd say so. So I can kind of give you a backstory into Pokemon.
Yeah, let's do it.
We have basically shown you all new stuff. You haven't really ever seen the show or seen any of the movies.
Yeah.
So you'll get we haven't actually talked about your reaction to a lot of this stuff. And so you'll kind of get to hear that firsthand.
Yeah. Other than like two games, I'm totally fresh to this whole thing as of about 3.5 hours ago.
Yeah. So cool. Well, let's jump into it. I'll kind of give you a brief overview of how the series got started and just kind of give you some, I don't know, business numbers to show you just how big of a like worldwide phenomenon this is. This show was created by Satoshi Tajiri in 1995. He's a Japanese guy. I don't know if you know this, but Pokemon is a Japanese series.
I knew that. And of course, like, I don't want to go so far as to say like people I grew up with, all of them were racist or anything like that. But I don't know, there was kind of an aversion to like Asian things because it could be Eastern and all that stuff.
The mysticism.
It being Japanese was also a turnoff for people I grew up with, which is, it is
kind pretty bad,
of a little racist.
It's pretty bad. Yeah. But so just kind of getting back into it, we'll move past the racism a little bit. The red and blue versions of the game were the first kind of core game series that launched in the U.S., and it was already kind of big in Japan, and so
were
thinking,
the games the very first, or did the show
start? And so it kind of, well, in Japan, the green version was released first, and then they kind of created the anime or the cartoon for it afterwards, and then for the U.S., a couple years later, they kind of ported it over and localized it. So I don't know if y'all picked up on this, but all these games are based off of colors. So Red and Blue came out in 1998. The TV show launched, like, I guess, a couple weeks before the games came out. And I'm not too sure on this, but I think the card games started coming out pretty soon, or like around that time as well. And so they kind of launched all this stuff around the same time just to kind of build the hype. And so you have this kind of full packet of Pokemon, and it pretty quickly like snowballed into the obsession that I felt, a lot of my friends felt, something you obviously did not feel and jealously kind of looked upon.
Only when I saw the cards like on the floor in the cafeteria, because they were so common at one point that was like the dust of the floor.
Pokemon cards everywhere. But today there have been 300 million games, just the games sold, and it's actually the second most successful video game series behind Super Mario Brothers.
I'm trying to think of a comparison for that.
There's really not. Like, are you talking about numbers wise?
Well, because like in like music, a record goes platinum if it sells 1 million copies.
Yeah.
And so this is like Fleetwood Mac times 6,000.
Yeah, it's
6,
crazy.
000.
Yeah. So in terms of revenue that this series has created, I saw a thing as of March 2017. The series as a whole, including games, merchandise, the show, pretty much everything, has generated $55.15 billion worldwide.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
And most of that's coming from, I mean, it was what, a couple bucks for a pack of cards and stuff?
Yeah, that's kind of a big portion. I think the games are the biggest thing. And of course, they've got like a ton of merchandise, especially in Japan. Like, they've got like different plushies or t-shirts, just kind of anything you can imagine is pretty big over there. And then as far as, just so you get an idea of how many Pokemon, like the creatures there are, nowadays. Originally, there was 151, and now, seven generations later, there are 802.
Jeez.
Yeah. So there are quite a bit out there. I think for the most part, I've got a lot of those kind of in my head somewhere, especially the earlier ones from when I was a kid. So yeah, moving on to kind of the meat of the show, we're going to talk about how Pokemon was pretty controversial in the church.
I feel like possibly, maybe not quite as deeply fought over as Harry Potter, because Harry Potter had witches and wizards.
Yeah,
just
for
those
sure.
Words are very much, you know, those trigger a lot of people.
Yeah.
But the quantity of controversy, it seems like from every angle, I could imagine
this
a
is
lot
kind
of
following
ways.
That theme of like the late 90s, early 2000s, where with the internet kind of getting bigger, these pop culture phenomenon were huge and so much bigger than they were before because of kind of the modern era. And so the church, like what they did with Harry Potter, had a lot to say about Pokemon as well.
Well, I was wondering, you know, like, this could start getting a little bit deeper than the purpose of our show, but we could cut some of it out if we need to. I'm really curious if some of that intersects with, because the big rise of the moral majority and the religious right as an intentionally political and cultural force was the 70s. It was kind of starting to fade by the 90s at the same time as all these pop culture behemoths came up. I wonder
but
if
you
some
also
of it
kinda
is like
have to see we didn't really have mega churches and like televised mega churches up
Other
until
than,
the late 90s. I mean, there's
true.
Some of that in
Maybe
like
Jerry
early.
Falwell was like the only
yeah,
one
but
that.
That was kind of like the beginning of that trend, I think. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting basically celebrity preachers who need to fill airtime, basically.
Celebrity.
And so they
that's
needed
not to.
To
say all of them are like
oh,
cynical
no, for
about
sure.
It, but there definitely are some.
The ones that we hear about.
There was ones that had all the same political and religious beliefs that I had as a kid that I still thought were full of shit because of just the way they carried themselves. It felt like you're just selling this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So did you have any kind of, I know we kind of touched on this a little bit, but did you have any pastors or anybody that directly kind of influenced your view of Pokemon, or was it
it's
really
like
just
of
kind of,
I think my main pastor that I had up until like middle school, before we started that church, my dad was a pastor of, I think he was out of touch enough with the fads. A lot of times he didn't interface with them. And so a lot of what I got simmered through kind of the mainstream evangelical culture through my parents. And my parents just put a hard stop on it. I asked and they just said, no, these are little demons. You can't do this. It's just not cool.
Yeah.
And that was mostly the end all for me.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting bring up demons. That's kind of like the biggest kind of drawback or the pushback on Pokemon that a lot of evangelicals had.
But it's also like, it feels like before we even had the idea for this show, I've thought about Pokemon because it's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I've like, I don't understand. It feels like it holds up the least of any of these ideas or like controversy over it. Because what?
Yeah, no, and
and if you really want to get like scriptural,
it's
like
crazy,
Satan's
yeah.
whole thing is supposed to be appealing and cool. He's supposed to be like seem like kicking it with Satan.
Yeah,
like he's supposed to be sneaky, and these are like demons that look scary as shit sometimes.
It's making
and, like,
sin normal
clouds.
And cool.
I know. It's a yeah.
It's pretty crazy. So the kind of biggest criticism coming out of the church was that Pokemon basically is a representation of the occult. And kind of presenting that idea to children.
Mm-hmm.
And the big way that they kind of saw this as part of the occult is that you're taking these little monsters, these demons, capturing them for yourself, and then using their powers and abilities to like fight people, fight other creatures, and basically do what you want to them. And so a lot of pastors were pretty against that, using demons and like channeling spirits to kind of bend to your will. That's a big Bible no-no.
I'm kind of imagining though there's like a subset of pastors who actually had a power trip about that, because I remember, I don't know if any of your church people ever talked about like demon possession. Like this is the opposite of that, where you're possessing the demon.
Basically,
so I'm imagining
yeah.
like one pastor having a power fantasy about this. You gotta control the demons now.
Yeah, reverse it.
We're fighting back.
Exactly. Yeah, and so we have, like, I mean, the slogan for Pokemon is gotta catch 'em all. And so they're basically telling kids, if you want to be good at Pokemon, you have to take on all these demons for yourself and train them and to use them for your will. And so you basically become a master of demons. That freaked a lot of pastors out.
Is that a Metallica album or is it Master of Puppets?
I have no idea, dude. Puppets. I didn't listen to
Metallica. Yeah, I was never a Metallica fan.
That's way off our radar there. But yeah, we've actually got a clip of a pastor that has some pretty great commentary on Pokemon. Well, let's check it out.
It's important for the church to deal with issues as they come to the forefront in society. I said, son, what is that one morning? He said, that's Pokemon. Son, I found out that Pokemon means pocket monster. Pokemon, plural, are incredible creatures that share the world with humans. Each has his own fighting
abilities.
Some grow and evolve into even more powerful creatures. The children are developing relationships with all these Pokemon creatures, little reclusive, power-filled monsters. But why should they carry these monsters in their pocket? They say the Pokemon whole effort is to train children how to become the number one Pokemon master in the world. You follow through the New Age teaching, you find out that masters are those who take control of spirits in the dark realm, and they tell those spirits what to do. The child at some point becomes capable of taking these powers and channeling them through their mind, through their arms, or through their power sources. Their power sources, of course, are many of the symbols that they pick up from the Pokemon paraphernalia. So Pokemon is a game that teaches children how to enter into the world of witchcraft, really how to cast spells, how to use psychic phenomena, how to work supernatural powers against their enemies, how to fantasy role play. Pokemon world is a world of the demonic, of the satanic. But while you might not take it quite seriously, I assure you that demons take it quite seriously. Satan takes it quite seriously. Your children need to know there's a devil, and he hates them, and he wants to ruin their life.
Yeah, there's the face of Satan.
There was even a couple of reports that children had been stabbed by other children over Pokemon cards. Do you remember the Dungeons and Dragons game of the 80s where children, young people even ended up killing themselves because it was...
All right, that's probably good.
I will say, he's looking fly as hell in that double-breasted suit.
Yeah, welcome to the 90s,
baby. Like, demagoguery has never looked so gorgeous.
Yeah, dude, I just want to kind of make it clear, I did not stab any other children over Pokemon cards.
Did that actually happen?
There may have been one case where it was, like, really heated and, like, some kid kind of got upset.
And, like, literal scissors. People actually kill each other over way, way worse.
Yeah. And so with anything that big, there's got to be some stories that kind of crop up like that. But yeah, if you were a fan of Pokemon and you had that paraphernalia, then you were basically like an occultist. It's bad, dude. I was one of them. I had my Ash Ketchum hat.
Yeah, how was the devil worship?
It's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it overlapped pretty well with my Harry Potter devil worship. And so during the day, I would pray to Satan for Pokemon and thank him for all the powers that he gave me.
They oozed up from the ground.
Uh-huh, yeah. And I would use the Pokemon that I caught in my game and my cards to fight off enemies and stab children.
All the enemies you had when you were six?
Yeah, so many. And then I would go home and pray to my Ouija board for Harry Potter, like we talked about last week. And so I was just all over the place on the Satan spectrum, I guess.
So, is it a spectrum?
I guess.
So what were some of the specific ones you found when you were looking this stuff up?
Certain Pokemon that really made a lot of evangelicals mad.
A couple I could guess at, but some of these, I don't know.
Yeah, and so a lot of them were the psychic type Pokemon or the ghost Pokemon. They really didn't like Alakazam, or the Kadabra Pokemon. So if y'all don't know, Kadabra is a psychic Pokemon that basically just holds a spoon that he bends and then uses
like Splinter from Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles.
Yeah,
he kind of looks a little like rat-like, I guess.
Yeah.
But they thought that he had a pentagram on his forehead, and it almost looks like he has Nazi SS.
And I mean, looking at the picture, the pentagram thing is dumb. It's just a pink star.
It's a star.
Yeah. But the SS thing.
Yeah. When we were watching an episode earlier, you pointed out. He's like, is that the Nazi SS symbol on his stomach?
And I mean, I don't think that would have been on purpose.
No, it's actually, so in the 1900s, I actually had to look into this. There was these psychic ability tests. I think they took place in the like 30s, 40s, and 50s. And they had these cards that you would have to guess what symbols were on the other side. And those are just lightning bolts. And so that was just one of the symbols. And the same with the star on his forehead. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of a reference to that.
I do want to know why he's always got a spoon, though.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like the whole psychic stereotype. Not to offend any psychics out there. You don't have to have spoons. Maybe use a fork or a spork. But you know how they always like bend spoons and kind of use their abilities to do that. That's the limit of what they can do, by the way.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't have the animation budget for the little brief bit of the game that I've seen. I never see the spoon bending.
They do it in the TV show.
Oh.
Yeah. So one of the other Pokemon that they also didn't like at all was Drowsy and Hypno. These are also psychic Pokemon, and they both like put people to sleep. And so they use hypnosis, and they actually go into people's dreams and eat them. You'll like this.
Wait, the dreams or the kids?
The dreams. They would eat the dreams. There's the Pokedex entry for Drowsy, which is basically just like the Pokemon encyclopedia that all the trainers carry around. It's like a little electronic device. Mm-hmm. Says this about Drowsy. It remembers every dream it eats. It rarely eats the dreams of adults because children's are much tastier. The sweet dreams of children.
And the gif that you put here in the outline.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
We may have to add it to the chatbot if you type in Drowsy.
He looks like a gif pops up. I imagine Matthew McConaughey and the whole purported high bongo drumming thing that he did at one point in time.
Yeah. It's pretty great. Now, every time I see a Drowsy, I'm just going to think of Matthew McConaughey. So obviously, Church didn't like them because they were hypnotist and could eat people's dreams.
I'm guessing the hypnotism thing was all about like forfeiting control to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of silly to me because I think it was gaslighting.
And, like in the games, the only mechanic they use hypnotism for or hypnosis is to put other Pokemon to sleep, which just makes it easier to fight them. And so, like in the games, it's not really malicious.
Okay, well maybe that's why they have a problem. So you just like knock them out and they just keep kicking them while they're down.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, the Pokemon battle system is pretty brutal. And then finally, another set of Pokemon that they did not like were Gengar, Haunter, and Gastly. They're the kind of three main ghost-type Pokemon in the game and on the TV show. And the idea that you're using ghost, basically, you're controlling ghosts, it's almost like necromancy.
Don't play with any ghosts except for the Holy Ghost.
Exactly.
Am I right?
And that one just bestowed upon you. You do not take it for yourself and use it to fight people. And Gastly is pretty creepy. Its tongue is made of gas, and if it licks your victims, it starts shaking uncontrollably, and then it just dies. That's the Pokedex entry for it in a kid's game.
This is why there's never been a live-action movie of any of this stuff. That could actually be a little horrifying.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Oh, speaking of creepy Pokemon, like Pokedex entries, going back to Kadabra, apparently those are little kids who have uncontrolled psychic powers, and they just wake up the next morning and they're a Pokemon.
What?
So they like turn into Kadabra.
Are they just stuck that way permanently?
Think about it. They turn into a Pokemon so that other children can capture them and bend them to their will.
Seems like some sketchy-ass class politics there.
Mm-hmm, exactly. If you're too powerful, some other kid's going to take control of you and use you. Finally, another kind of big church problem people had with Pokemon was that it kind of gets into like the pagan Eastern religion stuff. There's a lot of like Pokemon lore and stories and different types of Pokemon that are based off of Japanese, Chinese, and like Korean folklore. And then a lot of these different Pokemon have different elements that they're like more powerful in. So you have like fire Pokemon, water Pokemon, ground type.
The order that you put it on the document, please.
Sorry. Earth, wind, and fire typed Pokemon.
I wish I had a clip of one of their songs ready.
Yeah. If only if Do You Remembered. That was so bad, dude. I was trying so hard. Yeah, that's September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, by the way.
I would hope everyone listening to that
please
knows.
Please know that song.
Please.
The only downside and the only reason I didn't actually bring it up in that order is that there's not a wind-type Pokemon.
Really?
Yeah, there's a flying-type, which is basically wind, but yeah, no wind. But they do have earth and fire and water, but mm-hmm. earth is ground-type or rock-type. Yeah. Did I mention that I know a lot about Pokemon?
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah. I know well. It's just... It's
I know a lot more about this than I did Harry Potter.
Like, and that's really grasping at straws. I know I mentioned this earlier, but like...
Yeah, it's just like their powers. Like, a lot of games do that, and I think they're just trying to find reasons to be like, hey, this is pagan. They worship these things. They're using these powers of the earth.
Well, and what about figures in the Old Testament that called fire down upon people?
But that wasn't them. That was God.
Or God worked through Moses to split the Red Sea.
That was
like,
God, dude.
Yeah.
They didn't have their Pokemon doing that for them.
What if the Pokemon are getting their power from God?
Oh, that's true.
Let's retcon this whole franchise.
Yeah. Did you just discover that Pokemon is a Christian series?
It's like a... Oh, there's a book about that. I saw it when I was a kid. Flipping through like a Christian book catalog about explaining how Harry Potter could be a Christian thing. I'm sure there's one out there for Pokemon.
There's gotta be.
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
We got one other, right?
Yeah, we got one more. This is kind of the obvious one. Evolution is a big part of these games and the series. And so it's just basically Pokemon growing stronger and then changing into different Pokemon. And it just basically means they're more powerful and bigger and stronger. And obviously that has some pretty deep implications for creationists and the fact that if all these Pokemon are created in God's image, why is it that they're changing into different things? Were they not created perfectly? Offer some deep questions here.
I had a witty remark I was going to do, but I honestly got nothing because that's deep.
That is deep.
That is deep. Though you know that both of my brother and I, we had to be pulled out of our science classes whenever we learned about evolution.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of learned about evolution at my private Christian school in high school, but it was like, here's all the ways that evolution is wrong, and here's creationism instead. And so now there's kind of a balance I've struck with that, but we don't need to get into that.
As long as you pass your tax
about,
test.
Exactly.
Hashtag Texas.
We didn't have a tax test in private school.
Really?
I took tax test in a public school, though.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if my parents knew about the evolution thing in there, they probably would have been doubled down on it for a time.
Yeah, my parents were pretty cool with it. They're like, it's a kid's TV show.
Well, and like...
They're just games. And it's like such a quick thing. Like, it takes 2 seconds for a Pokemon to evolve versus like this... So it fits within the
You mean there's never like a couple slides that come up like that requires 30 minutes of reading on this Game Boy screen that says like, and by the way, God is a lie, Darwin was right, Pokemon.
Yeah, there's nothing like that. And it's not... It fits within the young Earth creationist thing.
Yeah,
to where these evolutions are happening very quickly.
Are there any floods at any point in time?
Not that I know of. There's probably an episode or something where some Pokemon gets angry and starts a flood. Yeah. Well, speaking of, you've watched your very first episode of Pokemon tonight.
And it was something.
Yes, it was. I kept looking over at you during certain parts, and you looked very confused and concerned.
I was trying to be, like, stoic enough to keep good notes. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, the episode's name was Hypno's Nap Time.
Yeah, so that's the same Pokemon that puts people to sleep. It's also a pretty funny episode. Like, there's some weird stuff that happens.
Yeah,
but
there's some weird stuff.
I figured it was timely. And it was also one that I happened to have on VHS. So it was also kind of a
I didn't realize you were already familiar with it going on.
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's... I want to be careful, too, because I don't want to be, like, besmirching anime in general, because I'm not particularly versed in anime.
Neither am I, just to set the record straight.
Traits here from the few other anime properties that I've seen that don't seem to carry over. Like, I noticed that nobody ever would, like, the natural bit of talking over one another... It's like they all took turns to do their dialogue. I'm imagining everyone like in the studio had to take turns at the microphone to record each take.
Yeah.
So that was some. Also, you told me that apparently all the cops are cousins.
Yeah. So Officer Jenny is the character in question. They're all named Officer Jenny, by the way, but they're all related, and I think it was just whoever, like, the creator's way.
Is this like an incest thing?
God, I hope not. I think it's just, like, kind of a funny trope that they have. At least, God, I really do hope so.
That's funny?
Or maybe it's, like, a practical joke that they're playing on Ash and the gang towards all the same cop, and they're like, oh, that's my cousin that you met.
That would actually be kind of awesome.
Yeah, but the same is the same for the nurse as well. Like, mm-hmm. It's all the same nurse or cousins.
Well, I don't want to move to the nurse yet because my other note when I'm really like, why is a 15-year-old kid hitting on a
Brock?
Cop?
Yeah. Yeah, Brock is a... I don't know how much he would fly in this day and age, but he's pretty woman crazy, I would say.
Yeah, and like kind of straight up sexist, would you say? Later in the episode, I took down, this is the only direct quote that I copied down, a beautiful woman shouldn't have too much to be sad about.
Yeah, that was really bad.
This is a little cringy. I would like to think that later incarnations of the series have gotten a little
I don't even know if Brock's still in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything else you kind of picked up on?
So let's see here. I have a lot. You can see my notes, and there's a lot here.
Yeah, there is.
It's just...
Should we go over the kind of the basic plot of the episode real quick?
Yeah, and you want to cover that?
Yeah, so Ash is the main character of the series, if you're not familiar. And he and a couple of his friends who kind of travel with him come into this new town, and this woman runs up to Ash and basically thought that Ash was her long-lost son. And I say long lost, like he's been gone for a long time, but he's only been gone for 3 days. And so apparently there's
time
a bunch of these kids who have been missing for 3 days. And then there's also a bunch of Pokemon in the town that are starting to act weird. And so they all start kind of investigating what's going on with the local police force of one person.
And
they trace it back.
At this point, I should mention in my notes, I also have in all caps, where the f*** are all the adults?
Yeah, there aren't many. The only one really... up until they get to the top of the building, which I'll get to in a second, is the mom. Because, I mean, I think the police officer is fairly young.
It's just like a bunch of 10 to 15-year-old children all go missing. The parents freak out a little bit and then don't really do anything else. There's like one cop involved.
Yeah, so...
And this is New York City.
Basically, yeah. And so, long story short, they track... they have like a weird device that tracks dream waves, and she just happens to have that... And it leads them...
Which, by the way, is not a thing.
It's not. No, it's not. Leads them up to the top of this building, and there's a mansion on top. And then there's a bunch of adults up there who are using this hypnosis Pokemon to make them fall asleep.
So...
Zach, talk about the reasons why.
Well, and this is... Unfortunately, maybe I just have a slightly dirty mind, but when I heard like a bunch of like middle-aged people getting together in a club and like a guy like doing psychic shit, I was imagining something that was way more blue than
sex
what it
thing.
Was.
Let's be honest. And they're like, I think they called themselves the Pokemon fan club or like
the fan
the swing club
and
or
they
something
all just,
like that.
So how do they all have insomnia?
Yeah.
All of them.
Well, they kind of explain it that they live in this stressful city and they all have insomnia. Because of the stressors of the modern workplace.
Just like nothing happens in the New York City of this world.
Yeah, and it's all like rich white people, basically. I don't know if you picked up on that, but they're all old, rich, and white.
I mean,
they're using this weird hypnosis Pokemon to put them all to sleep.
This was a mansion on top of a skyscraper, which seems very much like an old, rich, white person.
It was
kind
pretty
of
wild. But basically, because this Pokemon is using hypnosis on adults, it's affecting all the children in Pokemon, and eventually they like Team Rocket comes in.
So was it affecting, because in the beginning it was like they were at a Pokemon Center and all these other ones were knocked out. Was it like reaching through the whole city?
Yeah, it seemed to be the case. And so they kind of tracked it down to them and they saved the day. All the kids woke up from their slumber. They're actually acting like Pokemon, that's probably the best part of the episode. Is them
the animators
all...
had some fun with that.
Yeah.
There's a kid doing a worm up and down a tree. This is a chick writhing around in a puddle.
Yeah, Magikarp girl.
Which that also seems like a superhero name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was some. Oh yeah, and they called it Pokemon-itis.
It's Brock just totally made that up. they all get saved at the end, and they're like, I want to be a Pokemon trainer when I grow up. I want to be a fireman. And then they all just leave.
Yeah, they all just dash off yelling their childhood dreams.
I guess they didn't know that they had been gone for 3 days. Also, why weren't any
They were all knocked out at a career fair.
Exactly, and they woke up, and it's like, oh, all my dreams. I got to go pursue them. Also, did you notice that none of the other parents were looking for them?
Yeah.
It was just the one mom.
I mean, maybe the New York City, this is a pretty popular trope of, like, fanfic, but maybe the New York City of this world is, like, in the year 3500, and it's just, like, post-apocalyptic, and most of the parents are gone, and most kids just, like, grow out of the ground or something.
Well, that's kind of, like, the lore of the TV show. Once you turn 10 years old, then you're allowed to go and be a Pokemon trainer.
And your parents die?
I guess? Well, remember, oh, there's that weird flashback when Ash is like, I miss my mom, and then it cuts... Maybe I can confirm that Ash's mom is alive, but it definitely, like, off a one-off episode when there's no other adults.
Yeah.
His mom is dead. That's pretty great.
I also noticed the Rocket League people.
That's a video game, dude.
Yeah.
No, Team Rocket.
Rocket Raccoon.
Nope.
Too many things named Rocket.
No, Team Rocket.
They just, like, as they're parachuting in super slowly, which, by the way, just, like, toss a Pokemon up there and knock them out of the sky.
Uh-huh.
They're, like, this hardcore threatening poem.
They say, I wasn't going to tell you this until now. They say that every single episode.
Really?
Every single episode.
I wish I would have taken down some lines, because it was just, like, it was so
I've got it memorized, but I'm not going to do it on
no,
there.
No,
I think any kid, I can give you excerpts, but... It's like to protect the world from devastation, to unite all people within our nation. Kind of like white nationalist stuff, huh?
Shit.
It really is.
Damn it.
To extend our reach from the stars above. Yeah.
Maybe the SS symbols did have a parallel.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Pokemon is also, it, not only does it confirm Christian values as a Christian TV show, it's also a white nationalist propaganda machine.
Please, no.
This is a bad tangent, but we gotta keep it in.
Yeah, we got to. What else did I have? And that's why I'm like pseudo-distracted, because I'm almost in awe of some of my notes here.
Yeah.
Because at one point, you showed me another piece of another episode, and... A ghost Pokemon just, like, shows up and pulls a bomb out of his mouth and blows kids up.
Yeah, that was Haunter.
Just, like, a straight-up suicide bomber.
Yeah, and then it makes everybody laugh.
So
And then Ash earns his gym badge because somebody else's Pokemon makes the gym leader laugh.
It was so disorienting at times. It's hard to form an opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big basis of the show, is that Ash is pretty dumb. He's very bad at... being a Pokemon trainer.
I mean, he's about as dumb as book version of Harry Potter, basically.
Yeah. No, and he's so... Like, we only watched, like, 1.5 episodes, but he's not a good trainer.
Does he ever win any battle?
No, and that was a big thing. I remember seeing stuff online that there was a big battle. Like, the show's still going, and recently he had an opportunity to actually be the champion of something, and he lost again.
He choked.
Yeah, and so I guess the show creators are like, oh, we need to teach kids that even when you're down, you keep going, and friendship is more important. But you can't label the hero of your show as a Pokemon master when he sucks this bad.
You know what it is? These are participation trophies.
It pretty much is. Ash is a snowflake.
It's pretty bad. So we watched the end of the movie after
the
that.
The first movie, yeah. So the big emotional moment of, like, the movie. Tell me what happened.
Well, so first of all, we planned to watch the whole movie, y'all.
It's like an hour and a half
long. It's
like long.
$6 to rent an hour and a half movie, and it has 14% on Rotten Tomatoes,
yeah.
Which isn't everything.
I think,
but,
yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen this movie, and so just off the top of my head, kind of filled Zach in to what I think might have happened to get to the ending of the movie. And then we just watched the clip. And even that, like, 14-minute clip was pretty tough to sit through.
Yeah, and it's like, so what is the plot is, well, I probably shouldn't sum up the whole movie, but it's like there's Pokemon and the clones of each of these Pokemon, and they're all fighting each other. And the fight is really just, like, roaring at one another, and then there's two Pikachus, and they just slap each other back and
yeah.
forth, like... What commercial? Oh, no, it was the Sprint commercial. I'll have to put it in the show notes when I find it. Did you see that one? It was like...
Maybe.
It's from an old Western comedy.
kind of like an airplane type movie where the guy
was it
goes
Blazing
to,
Saddles?
Man, no, because I haven't seen Blazing Saddles. It was The Man with No Name or something like that.
I haven't seen that.
It was mocking like the Clint Eastwood movies, and he keeps going to draw his gun in the saloon, and then he slaps the guy in the face instead, and just keeps doing it over and over and over again.
It was basically that.
So yeah, just a bunch of Pikachu slapping. That was the intent. The extent of these.
What did you feel about the big emotional moment there at the end?
Lots of cliche emotional scoring music that felt like it was bought from a sound library.
Yeah, what happened?
They killed the kid.
Yeah, they killed Ash.
Which, as I understand, apparently is a trope. So whenever we were looking for clips and the YouTube suggested videos, it's like the top 5 times Ash dies. So they just like kill this
kid. I
don't
even know. I've seen like a lot
it.
Of the movies, like when I was growing up and stuff. I haven't seen hardly any of the more recent ones in the last probably 10 years. Just so we're kind of keeping things a little bit more concise. Did you like the ending of that movie?
Well, considering
you didn't
the
have like
the
emotional
plot
weight
that I had leading up to it, yeah. It felt like the ending that was going to happen.
Yeah,
but it wasn't necessarily satisfying.
No, I remember it was pretty big as a kid, kind of seeing Ash die and then come back to life. He comes back to life, by the way. This is kind of reinforcing the notion that this is a Christian movie and series.
Well, and not to mention, didn't he turn? He looked like he turned into stone, but it could have been salt. Like, was it Lot's wife?
Mm-hmm. She looked back at Sodom. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was actually thinking that the whole time. I meant to take a note on it. I couldn't remember which character
Ash
in the Bible that
equals
was.
Lot's wife.
I mean, Ash, salt. Like, not too far off.
It's pretty far off. And they're then, both like, dusty elements.
That's close.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we have any like organic chemists, please somebody correct us.
We don't have any organic chemists that are
we're
listening.
We're really pandering to some niche audiences here.
Yeah.
And then Pikachu tries to defibrillate him, basically.
He's just rock.
Which doesn't seem safe.
Yeah, but what does bring Ash back to life is the tears of all the Pokemon who see him die, and then they just kind of, like, send their tears over to Ash, and then he, like, is healed.
Pretty magical.
And then all the bad Pokemon fly away at the end, and then basically resets time.
This was my last note.
It's not good.
All the bad Pokemon fly over together, and this is why I'm thinking maybe there's some racist shit going on here, because they all go off to form this racially pure society in the clouds of all these things.
With, like, 15 different Pokemon.
That would make sense, because
then 151.
It was pretty
good.
Going
back to that propaganda film and white nationalist stuff. So yeah, you actually started playing the video games recently, right?
I did. So, Brooks and I tried, well, Brooks succeeded. We were going to play Gold and Silver together.
Yeah, because they just re-released them. Yeah.
So it is not a game that's hard to play or anything. It's a little hard to get through without that nostalgic attachment, because the graphics are really low quality. They're good for the time.
Yeah.
But they're not super engaging. The writing, it's very trope-heavy and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. I love playing through it again, just because that was the one that I started with when I was a kid.
And it absolutely makes sense, because there are games that are made with the same level of production value and stuff, and like that had the same cultural cachet, but I played them. Like, I played Donkey Kong Country a lot, which is a little bit better produced, but like there's no real story there.
Yeah.
But it still has a soft spot in my heart. And I did have a hard time getting through this, so I kind of let it go. We kept like texting each other back and forth, comparing progress. We battled once and I just got destroyed.
Yeah, I was already a little ahead of him at that point.
Plus I don't have a good strategy for it, because this type of game, I never played anything like this growing up, like not even anything remotely similar. And so I don't understand like how to properly distribute between your levels up between each of your Pokemon. So I just had one that was like level 30 and the next one down was like 6.
If it makes you feel any better, whenever I didn't really get quote good at Pokemon until like much later, like in high school, I guess.
Well, you couldn't Google tips when you were a little kid either.
I was just bad. Like, I was just bad at video games to begin with, and Pokemon was definitely one that I was bad at. And so
But anyway,
I get that, not just not knowing what's going on.
Yeah. So I also picked up Alpha Sapphire. So I have a 2DS XL, and so I grabbed it for pretty cheap, and actually I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Pretty early on, from what I saw, you were kind of playing some earlier.
Yeah, I haven't played a massive amount. I've just got too many other hobbies. But it's like a nice thing to play for like 20 minutes before bed. Doing a little bit of leveling up, but the graphics are really cool. I like some of the dynamics they added, because sometimes it's annoying if you're trying to get point A to point B, getting caught up in battles. through like
it's,
tall grass.
It's a lot more user friendly, I guess, than the ones that they released in 2001 for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of cool that you're kind of getting into that stuff later
on
in life.
Because you have Alpha Sapphire too, right?
Yeah, I got it, I think, pretty soon after it came out several years ago and played through it.
Well, hoping we can battle sometime.
Yeah, we'll see if you actually beat the game.
Well, can you start up a new game?
I could, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
We were going to do that as a cold open and just like battle each other, but I think because the consequences of that were already assumed that I was just going to get destroyed.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah.
We deemed it too uninteresting.
I just would have been crying.
It's okay. Yeah, so one last thing that I kind of want to cover, just because it's more recent in the news these days. Pokemon actually had a pretty big resurgence a couple years ago with Pokemon Go, as you know. And the church had a pretty funny reaction to that. It was strangely positive. They actually welcomed Pokemon Go players to go to church and like go to Pokestops and fight in the gyms around the church because it was kind of like a gateway into the doors.
Wait, do you mean that Hillary Clinton and the conservative churches actually had something in common?
They did. Pokemon Go to the polls.
Where is it? Here we go.
But I'm trying to figure out how we get them to have Pokemon go to the polls.
There it is.
Exactly. Classic.
Yeah. And so, Pokemon Go is actually drawing people to local churches because they had the stops there and you can, like, catch Pokemon and stuff.
Did you play it?
I did. Yeah, I played for a couple weeks over the summer. But I was actually working at my parents' church at the time in the marketing department. And I remember the people in charge of social media actually buying lures for our Pokestop so that when trainers or like people would come by, they would get benefits of actually going to our church. And so they spent money to actually have those up all the time just to kind of get people near the church and maybe be like a witnessing opportunity. Mm-hmm. Of course, that never happened because it was like during the week. So I just think that's a pretty funny like kind of shift of events to where
in
early 90s, you had the church basically condemning Pokemon because it was satanic, quote, and now after Pokemon Go,
it's
bringing people to the church and they're cool with that.
For this like subset, because obviously we're not saying this is all churches, but for this subset of churches, it really does seem like that's a trend where they will condemn this cultural thing until they find a use for it.
Exactly.
Even if the content of it changes not at all. Like, arguably, it gets worse because I'm sure there are more new violent Pokemon and stuff, but now they're down with it. It's just like, and we constantly like, what about Lord of the Rings? I don't get it.
Yeah, and there's even like more stuff nowadays in the Pokemon lore that you would think people would get upset about. They actually have a legendary Pokemon that they released a couple years ago that basically is the god of the Pokemon universe. It's like the main creator of everything. Also, you can catch this god and use him for your own will, the ultimate demon. But yeah, you didn't hear anything about that just because it was so under everybody's radar now. Like, nobody cared.
Kind of nuts how it shifted.
Yeah. I mean, of course there was those people against Pokemon Go because people were kind of like mindlessly in the game, kind of going back to that whole materialism thing. But
and the Church of Battery Life hated it as well.
Just so bad on my battery. That's probably why it's so bad today is because it's still feeling the pain of Pokemon Go.
So I think that pretty much covers
majority of it, yeah.
Yeah. Other than I'm enjoying all the dog type Pokemon. My wife and I are we're dog parents, so it's fun to see all the cute doggos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
there's a couple handful. There's actually a dog Pokemon that looks like a hellhound. It's a fire dark type, and it's got like horns. It's called Houndoom. It's pretty metal looking.
It's kind of on the nose.
Yeah, I don't. You can Google it real quick and pull it up.
What's it called again?
Houndoom, Houndoom.
What?
It's pretty freaking satanic, dude.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably pretty recent though.
No, it's actually second generation. So that's like early 2000s.
Well, maybe
that was
kind of
like the big FU to the church, I guess.
All right, y'all, scrap everything we just said. Pokemon
is satanic.
It's
confirmed.
Horrible. So, and now we will close out with a Church of Satan hymn. No, we don't have one.
No.
I don't think they have hymns.
No, I forgot all of mine from my youth.
Is that just going to be, that's going to be a trope of our podcast?
I don't want
now?
It to be, because I don't want that to be like the expected thing that I talk about every week, but I don't know. It tied in because it's kind of the same era.
And because you did play with demon cards.
Yeah, that is very true.
You walked right into
that's
it.
That's very true.
No, I think that's about all I've got on the topic,
mm-hmm.
other than I did want to share that my favorite Pokemon in my collection in Alpha Sapphire right now is named Snoot Booper.
Yeah, it's a Puccina, yeah, I think. Oh, the one thing that I do want to bring up, and I was going to bring up earlier, and this is mostly just for my mom listening. So there's a game for the Nintendo 64 called Pokemon Snap, and it's basically like a safari game where you're a guy on a rail system and taking pictures of Pokemon, and then they rate the pictures based off of like composition and stuff. My mom was so freaking good at this game. Like, I was like 5 or 6, so like anybody.
Your mom gamed with you?
Yeah, she played a lot of Pokemon Snap. She basically beat the game for Cooper and I. Like,
awesome.
After we would go to bed, she would play, and yeah, she was super good at that game. So good job, mom.
So I think we are going to take a quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
Are you tired of ads and podcasts?
You betcha.
They suck, right?
They sure do.
That's why we don't have any
sponsors.
None at all. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Not an Ad Land. We have a game for y'all. Brooks is prepared.
What
you got for us?
So we have a game called Realmon or Fakemon, where I've got a list of 5 different Pokemon, some of which I may have made up, and you have to tell me whether or not this is a real Pokemon that the Pokemon company has actually created.
A real licensed character.
Yeah, or if this is something that I just made up on the spot.
Which I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose on most of these.
Yeah. And so, cool. If you're ready to go, we can start.
Yeah, let's do it. Hit me.
Cool. So, number one, Vanillish. This is basically an ice cream Pokemon. I bumped the mic pretty hard, so I'm going to go back and we'll redo that. So, number one, Vanillish. This is basically a floating ice cream Pokemon. It's an ice type, and they cool down the surrounding air and create ice particles, which they use to freeze their foes. Is that a real Mon or a fake Mon?
Or Vanilla Ice.
It's called Vanillish.
I'm gonna say... Oh, man, you wrote these descriptions really well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say fake.
You're gonna say fake. This is actually a real Pokemon.
Damn it.
So this is the middle evolution of this Pokemon, and it literally is a floating ice cream cone, and there's like a little straw coming out of its head. Or maybe the evolution has a straw coming out of its head. But it's basically ice cream. Super weird.
Was this cross-branding? Was this cross-promotion between Pokemon and Baskin-Robbins?
No, it's just an ice cream cone.
All right.
Cool. All right, so number two. This Pokemon is called Darumaka. It's like a tiny little red monkey-like Pokemon. When its internal fire is burning, it cannot calm down, and it runs around. When the fire diminishes, it falls asleep. Darumaka's droppings are hot, so people use them to put them in their clothes to keep warm in the winter.
Is that where hand warmers come from?
I guess so. Maybe in the Pokemon universe. Darumaka, fire type, little fire monkey that has fiery poops.
This is tough because I want to like game you. I'm like, would you come up with that name? Is that a Brooks name?
We did talk about a ramen shop with a very similar name.
True. I'm going to say real. I don't want it to be real, but I'm going to say real.
It is real.
Jeez.
it is real.
How much of the cartoon did they spend explaining this?
I don't know.
This?
So this is from the official Pokedex entry for one of the games, and mm-hmm. I did not know that. And so, like, I've used this Pokemon in a game before, and they did not have anything to do with his fiery droppings.
Now at REI, it's got Gore-Tex and Thinsulate and Pokemon
Darumaka shit. It's super hot. All right, ready for number three?
Yeah, let's do it.
So number three, Spoink. Spoink is basically a pig's head with a little like curly Q tail below it. There's no body. So Spoink bounces around on its tail. The shock of its bouncing makes its heart pump. As a result, this Pokemon cannot afford to stop bouncing, because if it stops, its heart will stop as well.
Oh, man. It's got to be fake.
It's got to be fake? You sure about that?
I mean, I've seen in the total of like 5 hours of my entire life I've ever played Pokemon, mm-hmm. I've seen some stuff that looks similar to that.
Yeah. What are you going to go with?
Wouldn't that be the way that they'd let one of these guys die if he stops moving? I'm going to say true.
This is true? You sure? It's a kid's game.
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah.
Okay, it is true. Yeah, this is a real Pokemon.
And I called Pokemon's bluff on that.
Yep. All right, ready for number four?
That's messed up.
Yeah.
Hang on. So do kids ever have to, like, on this children's animated TV show, do they have to, like, reckon with the totality of death of their favorite pets that they carry around?
I don't think in the show. I have no idea. But there are Pokemon cemeteries in the game. Like, you're, like, actual, like, personal Pokemon can't die. They just, like, faint in battle. But they do address death in these games. And that's why we have, like, ghost Pokemon and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It's a little creepy.
Yeah. All right, number four, Klefki. This is basically a floating keychain with, like, real keys just, like, hanging from it. It will sneak into people's homes to steal their keys and attach it to their ring. They are key collectors, and they will threaten any attackers by fiercely jingling their keys at them.
Sounds like a passive-aggressive church janitor.
Yeah, exactly. It'll just kind of, like, rattle itself and jingle its keys at you.
Fake?
It is real. Is it real Pokemon?
The rest of them are all going to be real. How? How did I come up with this?
I know this is one of the newer Pokemon. So this is one of those where, and like, as I'm older, see this and go, what the hell? Like, this is what they creatively come up with.
I'm just imagining, like, whenever it attacks people with the shaking of the keys, that they add, like, a really hardcore reverb effect, and then everything slows down, so they just, like, make it as horrifying as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, unfortunately, that is a real creative thing that the Pokemon Company, which I keep saying Pokemon Company, that's literally what they're called.
Yeah,
it's not like I don't know what their name is. I'm like, oh, the Pokemon Company. Like, that's what their brand is.
I mean, you know what you're good at. You just got to keep selling it.
Uh-huh, exactly. All right, number five. So this is Garbodor. It's basically a giant pile of garbage. It's a poison-type Pokemon. They absorb garbage and make it part of their bodies. They shoot a poisonous liquid from their right-hand fingertips. Basically, it's like I guess like a gas pump that's kind of like coming out of its body, and it shoots people like a squirt gun with toxic gas. And it's literally just a pile of garbage with a face.
That kind of describes Scarecrow in Batman Begins.
Yeah. May or may not have been where I got my...
Sorry, Cillian Murphy, if you're listening.
Oh,
cheers.
And this just popped into my head. It has, you know, like those little girls with like the pom-pom hair, mm-hmm. to where it's like it's tied off and it's like kind of poofy on both sides. Mm-hmm. That's what this thing has on its head. Just garbage poofs on
garbage
either.
Uh-huh, that's kind of cute.
Yeah.
I'm going to say real.
It's real.
All of them are real.
No, I intentionally did that because they're all so buck wild in these descriptions.
I need to play some of the newer games.
Yeah, all these are all, they're all newer Pokemon for the most part.
Alpha Sapphire is just a remake of Gen 3, right?
Yeah, and so all these Pokemon are in that game, but they're not necessarily from this generation.
So this is what I have to look forward to.
Yeah, I don't know if you can catch these in the wild. I think some of these are some of the later generations.
From other games.
Yeah. I will show you what these all look like after the show.
Garbodor.
Mm-hmm. It's a first, like, before it evolves, it's called Trubbish, and it's just like a little green trash bag with
a
face.
They didn't even try. You know, they have,
well,
like, a quota.
They have
for
a history of, like, addressing social problems with some other Pokemon, right. And so this is, like, some Pokemon that was created due to, like, human process, and so like pollution and stuff created this. And okay, there's a couple other cool, ones actually. Like that. Remember Muck? I think you texted me about it. It's like a big purple ooze blob.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's a garbage Pokemon created by humans. So and Pokemon, I almost had
surprisingly woke.
I almost had Grimer, which is what like a
Grinder?
No. Grimer. Not Grinder. And so that's what like Muck evolves from.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost put this in the game, but I thought you were like gonna be familiar with Grimer, maybe, or Grinder. It turned into a Pokemon, like some X-rays from the moon hit some sludge and
what?
Animated it. Yeah. So that's our game, Realmon or Fakemon. And it all turned out to be Realmon. Sadly enough.
Oh man.
Thanks for playing, Zach.
Yeah. Okay.
What was your total? I think you won. I think you at least got 3.
Yeah, 3 out of 5, probably. Yeah.
Good job. We may need to go back in editing and have our chatbot declare.
Did anyone
the
ever draw a Vanilla Ice Vanillish parallel? That's been plaguing me this whole game.
Probably. I think so. Well, cool.
So I think that's like about all we have this week.
Yeah. That's Pokemon.
So we have social profiles where we can talk about Pokemon we like, or I can, and Brooks doesn't really like tweeting, so
yeah. I'll just retweet.
I'm just going to tag you in like 600 tweets about Pokemon.
I'll probably respond to that. We'll see.
So I am at I am Zach Lyons,
and I am at Brookscast BRUXCAST.
All right, so. What are we into this week?
So we saw Phoebe Bridgers last night in Austin. It was a great show. Soccer Mommy opened for her. They both put on pretty fantastic sets.
It's like a kind of straightforward indie rock.
Yeah.
With a little psychedelia and then sad folk songs about murdering people.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So, yeah, great show. Definitely check out both of their stuff. Phoebe Bridgers just put out an album in the last couple months. It's great. It's called Stranger in the Alps. And then Soccer Mommy's got a new album coming out in, I think, a month. And she played a lot of songs from that. And it was some good stuff.
So, yeah, we just listened to some of her this morning. It was good.
Yeah, definitely check her out. Both of them.
So I'm going to also go music. Not that this is a surprise to anyone, but the Black Panther soundtrack dropped last week. And it is awesome.
I haven't been able to listen to it yet. But
it was all curated by Kendrick Lamar. But
I will listen to it.
Some of my very, very favorite musicians, pretty much all of them, like my top five, are on this album.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, maybe like one. But there's like a track with James Blake and Anderson .Paak and Kendrick Lamar all together.
Yeah.
So it's super good. It's going to be one of those ones, I think, that goes down in soundtrack history.
Uh-huh.
But I'm excited to see the movie. We actually managed to get tickets, first time in a while.
Nice.
For like the Thursday, the first 7 o'clock p.m. release.
Yeah, so that'll be awesome.
I'm excited.
I definitely want to see it at some point, but I'm not like super big into Marvel movies, but I've seen the last several, I think, just because we've gone together. Mm. And so I'm excited to eventually see this one.
Yeah. As long as if it's better than Civil War, then already we're doing okay.
Oh, yeah.
That didn't age well.
For sure. Yeah.
So one more housekeeping thing. As usual, we have a Facebook Messenger bot that I put together. It's not a genius, but it will give you an easy way to get show notes and weekly reminders each time we release an episode. You don't really have to do much else to get to it, but just go to our website at innandofpod.com or our Facebook page at facebook.com/innandofpod, and you can just send in a message, and then sometimes we'll add like Easter eggs and stuff.
Yeah, I think you should add every Pokemon that we mentioned to the chat, so that when people type it in, a picture of it pops up.
Or maybe something else.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sounds like Zach doesn't want to do it.
No, not really.
Okay.
No, I'll do it. But I'm also going to, like, you might get a Pokemon. You might also get, like, Danny DeVito. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just feeling creative.
Yeah, maybe for Drowsy.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like Danny DeVito.
Well, because, you're the visual artist. I'm not really a visual artist by trade. So I gotta try and exercise my creativity sometimes,
Yeah.
So next week, we're going to take a bit of a turn from the audiovisual arts and go all audio and review the album American Idiots by Green Day. And I think we put it as idiots,
but I think it's American Idiot. We weren't really big Green Day fans.
No, I've actually never listened to this album.
But I was specifically on religious grounds, I avoided this album. So,
yeah, I think my parents were actually probably in the same boat.
Yeah.
While they were pretty like lenient on a lot of like TV shows and movies that I watched, I think music was a big part of kind of their sheltering of me, especially like kind of the more contemporary, like, I don't know, punk stuff like this. I don't, gosh, what is Green Day? It's like pop punk, I would say.
Pop punk slash whatever, I don't know. I'm going to call them eyeliner rock.
Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate.
They're, I don't know. They're people who wear skinny ties and spike their hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, still not a big Green Day
Penny
fan.
Is, your dog is, her tail's wagging on my mic stand.
It's like she senses whenever we're coming.
Every
to
time
the
we're going
episode.
To a close, she's like, cool, I get more pets now.
All right. I think that is all we have this week. So again,
just
next week, Green Day, and we will catch you later.
Cool.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye.
The world.